This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, women are from Venus and men are from Mars. I'm sure you've all heard this phrase before, and the point of this phrase is to point out how different men and women really are. And we are different. Sometimes it can seem like we come from different planets. And because we are so different as male and female, that can cause friction and frustration between one another. But the reason for that is because of sin. It's sin that complicates things between us. When God made us as male and female, He made us to complement one another, to serve one another in different ways, and to love one another. And the greatest example of that love is found in the relationship of a husband and a wife in marriage. As we look at this account, we see God instituting marriage and giving marriage all the blessings that it has. And as we look at this account, let us review those blessings of marriage and to grow in our appreciation for what God gives to us. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." The context here is the sixth day of creation. So far, God has created everything, including man, and yet on every other day, God saw everything that He had made, and He said it was very good. But here God says that something is not good. He realizes that it's not good for the man to be alone. And therefore, God would make a suitable helper for him. And He would institute marriage with all of its blessings. But before we move on to how God is going to rectify this problem and institute marriage, what about those of us here who are not married? What about those of us here who were married but decided not to remarry? Are we somehow sinning and disobeying God because we are not married? Of course not. If it were a sin against God not to be married, then we would have to conclude that Jesus sinned as well because He Himself was not married. God does not command, nor does He force anyone to be married. God does not say that if you are married, you are somehow living a more dignified life than if you aren't married. Whether we are married or not, we all live our lives for Christ and to give Him praise and glory. Therefore, for us who are not married, we are to recognize the blessings that God gives in marriage and to respect those blessings as we live our lives. And if the day may come that you become married or decide to remarry, then give God praise that He gives you those blessings in marriage. And let's look at one of the blessings of marriage that God gives. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Now, some have viewed what God does here as either being completely random or a cruel act by God. Neither of those things are true. This is not a random act of God. God has created mankind in His image, the crown of His creation. And here He gives Adam something to do. And what Adam names each creature, that was its name. God rejoiced to see Adam acting out of love for God. Nor was this a cruel act by God. Earlier we heard that God recognized that it wasn't good for the man to be alone. At the moment, Adam doesn't realize that. But as he examines all of these creatures and names them, he begins to realize that he is alone. There is no suitable helper for him. There's no one like him. As soon as he realizes this, this is when God puts Adam into a deep sleep. He removes a rib from a man, and from that rib, he created a woman for that man. When God brought this woman to Adam, he literally bursts out into a song and he sings, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Adam rejoiced that he was no longer alone, but that he had a suitable helper for him. He was filled with joy that he had a companion. One of the greatest blessings of marriage is companionship. You who are married, you have someone who is your best friend. Someone who practically knows everything about you. Someone that you can go to and trust. You have someone who is seeing you at your best and at your worst. But they are still there as your companion. They are there in good times and in bad times. They are there in sickness and in health. And it is God's plan that they will always be there for you in your life until death happens. Companionship is a great blessing of marriage. And as we serve in these companion roles, we have different roles to fulfill. Husbands, you are to love your wives and do everything for them as Christ loves the church. Wives, you are to submit to your husbands, recognizing their role as the head of the family. This doesn't mean that you are inferior. This doesn't mean that you are lesser than man. This is the special role that God has given to you, to be that suitable helper, to help your husband as he leads the family. This companionship, it's a wonderful blessing. And when husbands and wives fulfill their roles for one another, that is true companionship and brings joy in a marriage. But it's not the only blessing of marriage that God has given. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Another blessing of marriage is husband and wife become one in one flesh. This doesn't just mean that a husband and wife becomes one as they work together in a family, but it also means that they come together in a physical act of love. This intimate union, this intimate bond, is a great blessing that God has given to you in marriage. It's a blessing for you to enjoy and to use. This act of love, of giving your body to your spouse, is fulfilling what God's word says. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. But there's one more blessing of this physical act of love of a husband and wife coming together as one. If it is the Lord's will, he blesses you with children. Children are always a blessing from God. Those of you who are parents, you know this blessing, and you know the joy that your children bring to you. But as Christians, God doesn't just give us children as a blessing and to give us joy in life. He also tells us, has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. Parents, it is your duty and the command of God to instruct your children in the Lord. But it's not just a command from God, it is also another great joy that God has given you. As you instruct your children in the Lord, you have the joy of seeing them grow in their wisdom and knowledge about their God and Savior. As you instruct your children in the Lord, you have the joy of seeing them imitate your Christian way of life and faith. As you instruct your children in the Lord and with the Lord's help, you may one day have the joy of seeing your children in heaven with you as you live together with the Lord. These are the blessings of marriage, the blessing of companionship, this physical act of love and children. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't see these wonderful blessings in my marriage. In my marriage, I only see issues, struggles, and hardships. That's because of sin in this world. When God created us, when He created a woman for the man and instituted marriage with all of its blessings, this is when God looked at all of His creation and said, it is very good. Mankind had a perfect relationship with God, and man and woman had a perfect relationship in their marriage. But shortly after this, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And that perfect relationship we had with God and that perfect relationship between a husband and wife was completely shattered and destroyed. And we all see that. Before we were married, maybe we didn't respect the gifts of marriage in our lives. We had those unclean, impure, lustful thoughts. And maybe we even acted upon those unclean, impure, lustful thoughts, that we have robbed those gifts of marriage that God has reserved for a husband and wife for ourselves to satisfy our own needs. Husbands, do you still look at your wife and rejoice as Adam did? Do you see your wife as someone whom you can love and do everything for? Or do you just view your wife as the old ball and chain that is weighing you down? Do you ever abuse your power and say to your wife, well, I am the man of the house. You will do what I have to say. And you don't factor in her wants, her cares, and her needs. Wives, do you still look at your husbands and rejoice, recognizing His role as the head of the family? Or do you view your husband as a failure and doesn't know what he's doing? Do you ever subvert his leadership purposefully to get only what you want in life? And this physical act of love that God has given to you, have you either been unfaithful to your spouse by cheating on them? Or are you, for whatever reasoning, removing that gift that God has given to you? As if it's almost like you have to earn it for me to do something for you. Even though Scripture says your body is not your own. Parents, do you still look at your children as a blessing and joy in life? Or do you view them as simply something that causes you more stress? You sometimes don't even view your children as human beings, but rather as dollar bills because of how much you will have to pay to raise them. Are you instructing your children in the Lord as God commands you? Or do you think that this doesn't matter? Or this is something that the church will just do? I don't have to do it. Or maybe you are instructing your children in the Lord, but you're doing it in such a way that is embittering them, then instead of bringing them to Jesus, you may be causing more harm and good and turning them off from the Christian way of life and faith. We all have to confess that we haven't respected the blessings of marriage. We have robbed them for ourselves. We have abused them. And what makes this sin so atrocious is that it goes against what Paul told us this morning. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Marriage is to represent Christ's love for us and our love for Christ. But as we abuse these blessings of marriage, this does not show the love of Christ to the world. It only shows us as sinners and hypocrites. For this reason, Christ should divorce himself from us. He should separate himself from us because of our spiritual adultery and our spiritual unfaithfulness. But if that's what Christ did, even though he should, then we wouldn't know what perfect love is like. Although we haven't perfectly respected the gifts of marriage, Christ did. He upheld what God had instituted in marriage, and he defended it. He corrected those who had wrong views. We saw then the gospel of the Pharisees asking, is it okay and lawful to divorce your spouse? Although we don't perfectly fulfill our roles as husbands and wives, Christ perfectly fulfilled his role for us by living a perfect life as our substitute and Savior. And the greatest act of love by Christ was the fact that the divine nature and the human nature became one flesh in the body of Christ. And he laid down his life for us to cleanse us from our sins and to present us as holy and blameless and radiant in his sight. Although as parents we may fail to instruct our children in the Lord and to raise our children in a loving way, Christ has still adopted us as his children. He has welcomed us into his family. He has made us his own. And he instructs and teaches us through his word. And through his word, he guides us and motivates us in our Christian faith, in our Christian lives, and in our Christian marriages. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when it may seem hard to respect the blessings of marriage, when it may seem hard to fulfill your role as a husband and wife, when it may seem hard to fulfill your role as parents or as children in the family, look to Christ. Follow his example of love. Pray to him to help you. And he will help you to not only recognize the blessings of marriage, but to respect them and to act accordingly to them. For the blessings of marriage is companionship, a physical act of love, and children whom we instruct in the Lord. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.